Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, September 10th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
President Biden takes his boldest steps yet to fight the pandemic.
The Justice Department makes its move to stop the abortion ban in Texas.
Presidents Biden and Xi start fresh talks on U.S.-China relations.
And Fed officials respond to ethics concerns over their stock holdings.
New York Governor Hochul makes her feelings known on the Texas abortion law, plus reflections on the eve of the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees lost again. So did the Mets. The Bucks edged the Cowboys in the NFL, and youth was served at the U.S. Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good Friday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. futures are higher this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 21 points this morning. Dow futures up 210. NASDAQ futures up 60. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. The 10-year Treasury down 8/32. The yield 1.32%. The yield on the 2-year 0.21%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.6%, up $1.12 at $69.26 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.2%. Nathan.
Well, Karen, we start in Washington this morning, where President Biden has issued his most serious orders yet to stem the spread of COVID.
I'm announcing that the Department of Labor is developing an emergency rule to require all employers with 100 or more employees that together employ over 80 million workers to ensure their workforces are fully vaccinated or show a negative test at least once a week.
The president is ordering mandated vaccinations or testing for staff at large companies. He's also looking to head off critics of the move.
This is not about freedom or personal choice. It's about protecting yourself and those around you, the people you work with, the people you care about, the people you love.
President Biden also took aim at unvaccinated adults, saying they're dragging out the pandemic.
Reaction is pouring into the president's remarks this morning.
The president of the United States has just thrown the kitchen sink at the COVID epidemic.
We spoke with former Health and Human Services Secretary Donna Shalala about the president's plan.
This is a strategy to get our economy back up and going. And I have always believed, in fact, a year ago, I said the only way we were going to get this done is when American business threw up their hands and said, everybody's got to get vaccinated that works for us.
Former HHS Secretary Donna Shalala spoke to our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the show weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, Karen, the White House is also making moves on masks in schools, launching a program to protect districts that are penalized by their states for mandating masks. At the same time, one of the country's largest school districts is going a step further. L.A. will now mandate vaccinations for any students eligible to get shots. Ed Baxter has that story from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
The requirement is for students 12 years and older. The district already has protocols including masking and weekly testing. Teachers are required to be inoculated by October 15th, as well as undergoing regular testing. The board says the scientific consensus is the best way to protect both students and staff is vaccination. There'll be some medical exemptions. Now, this affects almost 630,000 students. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Hey, thank you. There's even more political news to get to this morning outside of COVID. Let's move to the abortion fight now, where the Justice Department has officially filed suit against Texas. Attorney General Merrick Garland said the state's ban on abortions after 6 weeks is against the law.
And it further prohibits any effort to aid the doctors who provide pre-viability abortions or the women who seek them. The act is clearly unconstitutional under long-standing Supreme Court precedent.
Attorney General Garland is seeking an emergency injunction to block the law. He'll then ask a court to rule it unconstitutional.
Well, we also have foreign policy in focus this morning. President Biden and Chinese President Xi Jinping spoke on the phone last night as the White House seeks to find some common ground with Beijing. We get details from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
The two leaders spoke for 90 minutes trying to find common ground on their difficult relations. A senior U.S. official said President Biden initiated the call after low-level meetings went nowhere. The White House said leaders talked about where interests converge and where they do not. China's CCTV said that U.S. policy had caused serious difficulties, but that Beijing was ready to cooperate. And the U.S. official said Biden's goal was to see whether or not personal engagement with Xi could reset the tone. It would appear the jury is still out on that. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. Back in Washington this morning, there's also increased scrutiny on members of the Federal Reserve. The presidents of the Boston and Dallas Fed say they're selling stocks after ethics concerns over the matter. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with the details. Renita, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The biggest issue here is the timing of it all. The trading activities of Boston Fed Chief Eric Rosengren and Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan are drawing sharp criticism while the Fed deploys policies that have boosted asset prices. And those higher prices disproportionately benefit the wealthy. Now, after they sell all the stocks, Kaplan and Rosengren say they'll invest the proceeds in diversified index funds or hold them in cash. Both pledge not to trade stocks for the duration of their tenures as Federal Reserve Bank presidents. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Turning to Wall Street now, financial firms have been grappling with the increased cost to hire new talent. Junior bankers now command six-figure salaries, and that could climb even higher. That's according to Moelis & Company CEO Ken Moelis.
Business is booming, and you know, someone like our firm, I think our last quarter we were up 100% year over year, and our people are up 10%. So you can just do the math. Somebody's working very hard, and I think they deserve to be paid more.
Ken Moelis tells Bloomberg's Eric Schatzker he's also raising pay for analysts. Right now, college grads can make almost triple the U.S. median income in just their first year on Wall Street. Futures moving higher on this Friday morning. Straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 5:07 on Wall Street, 66 degrees in Central Park. Quite the weekend weather forecast coming up for you in just a few minutes. First, Michael Barr, what else is going on in New York and around the world on this Friday?
Well, thank you very much, Nathan. An estimated 200 foreigners, including Americans, left Afghanistan on a commercial flight out of Kabul yesterday with the cooperation of the Taliban. It's the first such large-scale departure since U.S. forces completed their hectic withdrawal over a week ago. Meanwhile, this comes ahead of tomorrow's 20-year anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. An investigation back then revealed the hijackers were members of the terror group Al-Qaeda, who were given safe haven in Afghanistan by the Taliban. Attorney General Merrick Garland spoke about the 9/11 attacks.
That day is seared into all of our memories. Nothing we can do or say can replace the loss so many endured that day. Nothing can change the profound way the events of September 11th altered us, individually and collectively as a nation.
Attorney General Garland, President Biden will visit the crash sites to honor the almost 3,000 people killed that day. Abortion rights rallies were held in the tri-state area yesterday protesting the Texas abortion law. New York Governor Kathy Hochul spoke at a rally in Brooklyn.
Let's take this battle all across the nation to Washington, to Texas, and anywhere else that think they have a right to have their hands on their body. Keep your damn hands off our bodies. Keep your damn hands off our bodies.
New York Mayor Bill de Blasio also joined Governor Hochul at the rally.
We're seeing right now in our country an assault on democracy. Because the majority of Americans believe in a woman's right to choose, period.
Mayor de Blasio, New York Lieutenant Governor Brian Benjamin thanked Governor Hochul for choosing him as he was sworn in to join her administration. Benjamin, who served as a state senator out of Harlem, took the oath of office yesterday in Hochul's New York City office. Hurricane Olaf has scraped across the southern tip of Mexico's Baja California Peninsula and spun back into the Pacific, bringing heavy rain and strong winds to the twin resorts of Los Cabos. Meanwhile, the remnants of Tropical Storm Mindy forced local authorities in and around Charleston, South Carolina, to close some roads and warn residents of possible dangers. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshaun.
All right, good morning, Nathan. We'll get to the Yankees struggles and the NFL opener. We'll begin with tennis history. U.S. Open women's singles, or really girls' singles, because the two semifinal winners last night both just out of high school. England's Emma Raducanu is 18. She had to win three matches in qualifying just to get into the draw. She won her match easily after Montreal native Leila Fernandez, who turned 19 3 days ago, won in three sets and was asked to describe the last 2 weeks.
And one word that really stuck to me is magical, because not only is my run really good, but also the way I'm playing right now, I'm just having fun. I'm trying to produce something for the crowd to enjoy, and I'm glad that whatever I'm doing on court, the fans are loving it, and I'm loving it too.
The teenagers meet in the final tomorrow in the Bronx. Toronto's first four-game road sweep of the Yankees since 2003. The Yanks' first four-game series where they never had a lead since 1924. The Blue Jays won 6-4. They've won 8 in a row. The Yanks have lost their last 6. Tonight, Citi Field, Yankees and Mets, a rare September Subway Series purposely scheduled to coincide with 9/11. 20 years later, Mets blew a 2-0 lead, lost in Miami 3-2. The NFL season kicked off with a terrific game. Tampa Bay on a last-second field goal beat Dallas 31-29. Both quarterbacks were superb. Dak Prescott, back from last year's injury, threw for 400 yards, 3 touchdowns. Tom Brady, now 44. Looked like he can play till he's 64. Brady threw for 379 yards, 4 TDs. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Here's to the 44-year-olds. Thank you, John. S&P futures up 19 points. Dow futures up 192. NASDAQ futures up 57. The 10-year Treasury yield 1.32% on this Friday morning. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks are rebounding and U.S. stock index futures rising as investors' concerns ease about stimulus tapering by central banks and China's regulatory crackdown. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 19 points, Dow futures up 187, and NASDAQ futures up 56. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 1.32%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.21%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.6%, up $1.09 at $69.23 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.2%, or $3.50 at $18.03.50 an ounce. The euro 1.1845 against the dollar, British pound 1.3872, and the yen's at 109.89. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Joe Biden announced sweeping new orders requiring employers with more than 100 workers to mandate immunizations or offer weekly testing.
The unvaccinated overcrowd our hospitals, are overrunning emergency rooms and intensive care units, leaving no room for someone with a heart attack or pancreatitis or cancer.
The president says the U.S. is still struggling to curb the surging Delta variant that is killing thousands each week. The U.S. has sued Texas to block a law that effectively bans abortions in the state after 6 weeks. Attorney General Merrick Garland called it unconstitutional. In the season NFL opener, the Buccaneers beat the Cowboys 31-29. In tennis at the U.S. Open, 18-year-old British teenager Emma Raducanu will play another unseeded teen in tomorrow's final, Canada's 19-year-old Layla Fernandez. Major League Baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost along with the Orioles and Nationals. The A's won. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It is 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get more now on President Biden's plan to tackle the pandemic. Terry Haynes is with us this morning, founder of Pangea Policy. Terry, good morning. Obviously, the centerpiece here seems to be the president mandating vaccines not just for federal workers and government contractors, but this new rule that the OSHA is going to put out in regard to businesses with more than 100 employees. What's your reaction to that? Is this something that they can stand the test of legality?
Good morning, Nathan. I've gotten mixed reactions about the president's initiative. On the one hand, I think it's a market positive. Markets likely applaud the effort and the focus and the seriousness. So that's good for markets, and a sign that the White House is serious about that is a good thing. But at the same time, the execution of this is muddy. And I'm always a believer that that process is policy as much as anything else. And the execution of this is difficult. There is, as you point out, concerns about whether or not a future OSHA regulation can be sustained. And I've already seen a lot of different and looked myself to see a lot of problems with that. You've also got the situation of the federal government stepping over state powers. And last I saw, there were at least 14 states that we're interested in challenging this. So that's a problem from an execution standpoint. There's a business concern about exactly what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. And, you know, the vast majority of the businesses in this country, I think we're trying to figure out how to further vaccines on their own anyway. So on the one hand, you know, they appreciate the underpinning from the White House. And on the other hand, they're concerned about execution. And finally, you know, if you're doing an important thing, I think you should be ready to go. And the announcement yesterday amounted to we're going to do this important thing days, weeks in the future with this OSHA emergency regulation. If something's an emergency, it ought to be ready to go right now. So a lot of the benefits, both market and political, that the president could get out of this, I think, are blunted by the way this is being rolled out.
Well, as you point out, there are a number of businesses, very large businesses, that have already imposed vaccine mandates of their own. Doesn't that grease the wheels somewhat?
Oh, it greases the absolutely. I mean, I think there's a convergence between the interests of many businesses who were trying to figure out exactly how they were going to do this. I mean, you know, it's helpful for business to have a White House underpinning. And at the same time, there is a concern from business about, you know, look, you know, so Biden said we're going to do this thing. How are we going to do it? Well, I don't know yet. We'll know in weeks. So I think there's going to be potentially greasing the wheels, but there's also going to be in the interim anyway frustration about how this is going to happen and concerns that the greasing of the wheels may not prove to be a legal way to do it, whatever it's going to be.
Something else that is going to be of interest to business this morning, President Biden had a 90-minute phone call last night with Chinese President Xi Jinping. Obviously, the business community has really been putting pressure on to try to smooth out the relationship and lower trade barriers, that sort of thing. What do you see coming out of this phone call between Presidents Biden and Xi?
The more I thought about this, the more I thought that there were similar themes going on. On the one hand, broadly speaking, on the one hand, your business will be happy and glad that the administration is pushing as hard as it can on normalizing whatever it can on China. And at the same time, I see difficulties in White House execution here that that make things more difficult. Bloomberg's reporting and others say that the administration is still undergoing a review of China policy. We're now 8 months into the administration, and they're still pushing on that. So that's a little bit of a concern, particularly when Biden himself has been giving the speeches about the era of great power competition and prioritizing things in the Chinese relationship. So, you know, on the one hand, it's a good thing to have the engagement. On the other thing, there's no clarity about what the United States wants out of this, which is going to likely frustrate U.S. business as well as China.
Yeah, I got to think there are going to be a lot more talks to come as we're still in early days of the Biden presidency. Terry Haynes, founder of Pangea Policy. Great, as always, to get your insights on the business perspective, what's happening on the policy front in the nation's capital. Thanks again for being with us. Futures moving higher. S&P futures up 18 points right now. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, the forecast we've been waiting for the weekend. Sunshine today, upper 70s. Sunshine tomorrow, upper 70s. Sunshine Sunday, low 80s. Currently 66 degrees.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Beginning in Washington, President Biden is issuing his most serious orders yet to stem the spread of COVID. He's ordering mandated vaccinations or weekly testing for staff at large companies.
Some of the biggest companies are already requiring this. United Airlines, Disney, Tyson's Food, and even Fox News. The bottom line, we're going to protect vaccinated workers from unvaccinated coworkers.
President Biden went on to take aim at unvaccinated adults, saying they're dragging out the pandemic.
Well, Karen, the White House is also making moves on masks in schools, launching a program to restore funding to districts that have had money withheld by their states in retaliation for mandating masks.
Local school officials are trying to keep children safe in a pandemic, while their governor picks a fight with them.
And now one of the country's largest districts is going beyond masking. Los Angeles will now mandate vaccinations for all students eligible to get shots. To attend in-person classes, LA students will need to be fully vaccinated by January.
Well, Nathan, foreign policy is also in focus this morning. President Biden and Chinese President Xi Jinping spoke on the phone last night as the White House seeks to find some common ground with Beijing. The talks lasted 90 minutes and come as cabinet-level meetings remain unfruitful. The White House says the men spoke about issues ranging from climate change and trade to human rights and democracy in Hong Kong.
Now, when it comes to domestic policy, there is increased scrutiny this morning on members of the Federal Reserve. The presidents of the Boston and Dallas feds say they're selling stocks after ethics concerns. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with the details. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. The biggest issue here is the timing of it all. Boston Fed Chief Eric Rosengren and Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan are drawing sharp criticism for their trading activities at the same time the Fed deploys policies that have boosted asset prices. And those higher prices disproportionately benefit the wealthy. After they sell all stocks, Kaplan and Rosengren say they'll invest the proceeds in diversified index funds or hold them in cash. Both pledge not to trade stocks for the duration of their tenures as Federal Reserve Bank presidents. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are up 18 points. Dow futures up 174. NASDAQ futures higher by 57 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 8/32. The yield 1.32%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and the check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's 533 on Wall Street, 65 degrees under clear sky in Central Park. Still some delays on New Jersey Transit. We'll have details on that for you in a few minutes. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. It is the eve of the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 terror attacks. President Biden will attend ceremonies at each of the sites where close to 3,000 Americans were killed, including the Twin Towers in New York. Attorney General Merrick Garland delivered remarks on the 9/11.
The threat from terrorists, from foreign terrorists, like those involved in the September 11th attack, is one we must constantly guard against.
Garland says that day is seared into all of our memories. U.S. Coast Guard officials will hold a 9/11 remembrance ceremony this morning on Staten Island to commemorate and honor the sacrifices of first responders and the victims of the 9/11 terror attacks. It is to also recognize the Coast Guard's role during the maritime evacuation of Lower Manhattan on 9/11. The first charter flight out of Kabul left yesterday. U.S. citizens and Afghans were among the passengers on the first international flight to take off from Kabul since the U.S. military withdrawal. Abortion rights rallies were held in the tri-state area yesterday protesting the Texas abortion law. New York Governor Kathy Hochul spoke at a rally in Brooklyn.
Let's take this battle all across the nation to Washington, to Texas, and anywhere else that they think they have a right to have their hands on their body. Keep your damn hands off our bodies. Keep your damn hands off our bodies.
New York Mayor Bill de Blasio also joined Governor Hochul at the rally.
We're seeing right now in our country an assault on democracy because the majority of Americans believe in a woman's right to choose, period.
Mayor de Blasio. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont says that the state has received a key federal approval for its plan to allow legalized sports wagering and online gambling. The U.S. Department of the Interior has signed off on changes to PACs between the state and its two federally recognized tribal nations who operate the state's two casinos. The FDA has banned nearly hundreds of thousands of e-cigarette products from being sold in the U.S., but the decisions spare the most popular e-cigarette manufacturer for now. A decision on products from the largest e-cigarettes producer, Juul, has been delayed. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 5:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshauer.
Thanks, Nathan. It's one thing to be streaky, but how do you go from 13 wins in a row, longest winning streak in 60 years, and follow it by going 2-10? Yankees lost to Toronto fourth night in a row. Blue Jays won 6-4. Yanks never had a lead in the series. That had not happened in a four-game set since 1924 against the Washington Senators. They did hit three home runs last night, Anthony Rizzo, and then in the ninth inning, Gary Sanchez and Luke Voigt, but no doubles or triples in the entire series. Their beleaguered manager, Aaron Boone.
It's had a horrible homestand. It's not okay. You know, we're pissed off about it. But we've been through this throughout the season. We're up against it again.
Tonight at Citi Field, start of a Subway Series, the 9/11 anniversary tomorrow. The Mets just lost again in Miami, 3-2. The NFL season underway. Great finish at Tampa Bay. The Bucs on a last-second field goal topped Dallas, 31-29. Tom Brady threw for four touchdowns, two of them to his old friend Rob Gronkowski. Dak Prescott had a big night back from his injury. The Giants begin the season Sunday at home versus Denver. The Jets open up at Carolina. Rookie QB Zach Wilson makes his debut and goes against the ex-Jet, Sam Darnold. Youth was served at the U.S. Open. Semifinal victories for 18-year-old Emma Raducanu and just-turned 19-year-old Layla Fernandez. Their combined age is younger than Serena Williams. Remarkable runs by both, especially Raducanu, who had to qualify just to get into the draw. So the teenagers, both unseeded, meet in a very unlikely final tomorrow. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Joan Doniger.
Even with more city businesses rethinking their plans to return to their offices because of the Delta variant, and BlackRock says it hasn't decided yet when to do that, Facebook is looking beyond the pandemic to take advantage of an office market with plenty of offerings. A source tells Bloomberg News Facebook has looked into snapping up about 300,000 square feet in a building near Astor Place,
where it already has offices. DoorDash, Grubhub, and Uber Eats are suing the city over its new cap on the amount they and other meal delivery services can collect from restaurants. They say the 15% cap will mean higher prices for consumers and lower earnings for restaurants and delivery drivers. Connecticut wanted to have sports betting on the books in time for the kickoff of the new NFL season last night, but the U.S. Interior Department hasn't yet approved the gaming compact between the state and two federally recognized Native American tribes. No word on when that will happen. With the Tri-State Business Report, I'm Joan Doniger.
All right, Joan, thanks. 538 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Karen Chase. On WHAS in Louisville, I'll be reporting on Microsoft indefinitely putting off its return to the office.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that the Minnesota-based sporting goods company Vista Outdoor is nearing a deal to buy Foresight Sports, which makes golf simulators and other technology for the sport.
I'm Caroline Hepcom, Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the barely there growth in the UK economy in July as the rebound ground almost to a halt.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Now, turning back to President Biden's latest pandemic orders, it looks like unmasked passengers on airplanes could be in for more pain. New rules will double the fines for flyers who refuse to mask up. Let's get the details from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The plan to double financial penalties for those who violate federal rules requiring masks on commercial planes is part of the government's latest effort to slow the spread of the Delta variant of the coronavirus. The federal government has mandated masks on air and ground forms of public transportation until at least January 18th. According to the FAA, reports of disruptive passengers reached 4,184 this year as of Tuesday, including 752 deemed serious enough to warrant investigations. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And Harvard University has agreed to stop investing in fossil fuels. Instead, it'll use its $42 billion endowment to support the green economy. Harvard students have protested for years calling for fossil fuel divestment. Toyota is cutting its production forecast for the fiscal year by 300,000 vehicles. That's a roughly 3% reduction. The Japanese automaker blames the spread of COVID in Southeast Asia, along with the chip shortage. Futures moving higher. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks are rebounding and U.S. stock index futures on the rise as investor concerns ease about stimulus tapering by central banks and China's regulatory crackdown. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 18 points, Dow futures up 174, NASDAQ futures up 55. The DAX in Germany is up a third of a percent. 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 1.32%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.21%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.5%, up a dollar at $69.14 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed, up 80 cents at $1,800.80 an ounce. The euro, 1.1842 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3878. And the yen is at 109.94. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. President Joe Biden ordered all executive branch employees, federal contractors, and millions of health care workers to be vaccinated against the coronavirus, and that his administration would issue rules requiring large private employers to mandate shots or testing. Biden also delivered some of his harshest criticism yet of the 25% of U.S. adults who've been so far not inoculated.
We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us. So please do the right thing.
President Biden says that the unvaccinated are dragging out the pandemic. In the season NFL opener, the Buccaneers beat the Cowboys 31-29. Tennis at the U.S. Open, British teenager Emma Raducanu will play another unseeded teen in tomorrow's final, Canada's Leila Fernandez. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost, along with the Orioles and Nationals. The A's won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to get more now on the president's pandemic plan. Joining us, Andy Pekosh, professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Professor Pekosh, good morning. We had been expecting that the president was going to mandate vaccinations for federal government workers and federal contractors. Now this new rule he plans to issue for businesses of more than 100 employees. It seems like the president's going even farther. Does this plan go far enough against the Delta variant?
Well, I think it's a good initial step to move the vaccination program here in the U.S. forward in a positive way. You know, there's been plenty of time that we've given this vaccine in terms of generating the safety data, generating the efficacy data. We're now even starting to understand better ways to do the inoculations to make sure that we've got even longer immunity than the initial clinical studies provided. So, you know, all the science is pointing to the fact that this is a safe and efficacious vaccine, and it is the simple, most straightforward, most pain-free way to move us out of this pandemic and to control the disease severity that SARS-CoV-2 is inducing in the human population.
You say this is a good initial step. What further steps would you like to see? And what do you say to people who would say that a vaccine mandate is a step too far?
I think the important thing right now is that, you know, the coverage of the vaccines is really limited to adults. We have to keep thinking about our children, especially as the children are going back to school, and what are the best ways to keep them safe from COVID-19. So I think as the data gets accumulating for that pediatric populations, that's when how quickly we induce some of these rules for children is going to be the next important step. I think these mandates are perfectly justifiable. They're perfectly reasonable. Based on the scientific data, I think that we as a scientific community, as a public health community, have spent a lot of time trying to communicate the benefits of this vaccine to others. I think the best way forward right now is to ratchet up the intensity in which we're pushing these vaccines because, again, the safety record is there. The efficacy record is there. There's a direct path forward to controlling this pandemic and returning to some sense of normalcy, and that's through the vaccines.
There's an op-ed in the Washington Post this morning from Dr. Leanna Wen, used to be the public health official, top public health official in Baltimore City and the former president of Planned Parenthood, wondering why the president's plan doesn't include mandatory vaccinations to get on planes or buses. Is that something that should have been considered?
You know, having just taken a trip to New York City, I really do appreciate the use of vaccines to gain access to things like restaurants, to gain access to shows, and I think travel is the next great step. I think that there are ways that we can motivate people more to get the vaccine, and by allowing them to do certain things after vaccination, I think that's just one other strong way to do it. That represents an area that I think is ripe for putting in mandates similar to what we ask people to do with respect to wearing masks on planes and in other public transportation mechanisms.
In the meantime, before vaccines are approved for kids younger than 12, the president laid out a number of steps, including encouraging mandatory masking, ventilation, that sort of thing. Is that going to have a good enough impact with the Delta variant continuing to spread?
I think, you know, until you can get the vaccine into children, it's going to be a matter of putting in effective, these indirect methods to protect those populations. So making sure that everybody at school facilities who is eligible for vaccination is vaccinated is one of them. Masks, good air circulation in schools. Oftentimes, this just requires the HVAC engineers to spend a little bit of time to understand airflow in rooms and through systems to adjust things to make it much less likely to see transmission events in schoolrooms and classrooms. So all of this is going to be important, but until we can vaccinate our children, we're going to really have to focus on these indirect methods, and anything we can do to strengthen that is going to be important. And masking is one of the best indirect ways that we can minimize spread of the virus.
Only about 30 seconds left here, Professor. When can we expect these new strategies to have an impact on the pandemic?
I imagine almost immediately. What we're struggling with right now is trying to predict what's going to happen as we move further into the fall with respect to virus spread. And so any increases we have in vaccination may not be easily evident early on, because as we move inside in the fall, we may have a slight uptick in terms of cases. And so we're going to have to really look carefully at the data to see the effect of vaccination on top of potentially more spread in the fall.
Andy Petkosch of the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, thank you as always for your insights. Karen.
Nathan, is 5:54 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Daily Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Today, we're looking at a new voting law out of Texas. The measure is one of the most aggressive in the country to curb voting and has so far led to at least five lawsuits. The complaint say the new law restricts people of color, the elderly, and the disabled from casting ballots. For more on the measure, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to elections law expert Richard Briffaut, a professor at Columbia Law School.
Some lawsuits were filed even before the governor signed the bill into law, but there are at least five federal lawsuits now. And they seem to cover the gamut, arguing the law violates the Voting Rights Act, the Americans with Disabilities Act, the Civil Rights Act, and the first, 14th, and 15th Amendments. So considered together, they cover a lot of legal ground.
The law puts in a lot of restrictions on the ability of people to receive assistance when they're voting, and many of those may bump up against rights that voters with disabilities have under the ADA to receive assistance when they're voting. One big strand is that. Another is, particularly dealing with voting by mail, the law includes many more requirements of what you have to put in or include with your application for an early voting or vote by mail ballot, including information that may be less available to minority voters, younger voters, voters who have not voted in a while, and so therefore may not just hinder voting generally, but may hinder voting by certain groups in particular. And so I think that's also one of the targets, is these new additional requirements of information that needs to be provided in order to obtain a mail ballot.
The Supreme Court weakened the Voting Rights Act earlier this year. Will that impact these cases?
I think it's going to make them harder. It may have less of an impact on the cases brought on behalf of voters with disabilities, because that's a whole different statute, and that has different requirements. I mean, there'll be fact questions about just how much is this a burden on voters with disabilities, how much will it make it harder for them to vote. But I think on the others, the burden is going to be higher now on the plaintiffs to show that it's going to affect a lot of voters, that these burdens really make it hard to vote, and that the state's justifications are really thin. The reasoning of the Supreme Court opinion last time was a lot of these restrictions, they may hit voters of color more than whites, but they don't affect a lot of voters. So one big thing that the plaintiffs are going to have to show is that these actually could affect a lot of voters.
And that's Columbia Law Professor Richard Briffaut speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. And still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. This is Bloomberg.